good to see you tonight. Well, that's good. We're continuing our study in the book of Galatians. If you would turn there to chapter 4. Last time we left off at verse 24, and tonight we'll be looking at verse 25 through chapter 5, verse 5 in Galatians. And Lord willing, we'll get through all these verses, or as many as we can. As you recall, last time in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul was in his letter talking or speaking to the Galatians through his epistle, used the Old Testament illustration or example of Abraham and Hagar and Sarah as a contrast between law and grace. If you recall, as we all know, hopefully by now, that the Judaizers who had infiltrated the churches in Galatia had introduced this heresy of adhering to the Old Testament law to the people. One of their big things was circumcision, and we'll talk about that tonight. And what they wanted, the Judaizers wanted to do, is to let the Galatians know that you cannot be saved unless you're keeping the Old Testament law. And, of course, the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to correct that problem in the Galatian churches. And in chapter 4, he continues using that Old Testament illustration of Hagar and Sarah as a contrast between being back under the law and being under the grace of God. And in chapter 5, Paul switches gears a little bit, as we'll see in a few minutes, and he talks about the contrast between law and grace in a more practical, everyday way with the Galatians. But let's start reading at chapter 4 and verse 25, and we'll read through chapter 5, verse 5. In verse 25, "For this Hagar is Mount Sinai, and Sarah, as a contrast between law and grace." If you recall, as we all know, hopefully by now, that the Judaizers who had infiltrated the churches in Galatia had introduced this heresy of adhering to the Old Testament law to the people. One of their big things was circumcision, and we'll talk about that tonight. And what they wanted, the Judaizers wanted to do, is to let the Galatians know that you cannot be saved unless you're keeping the Old Testament law. And, of course, the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to correct that problem in the Galatian churches. And in chapter 4, he continues using that Old Testament illustration of Hagar and Sarah as a contrast between being back under the law and being under the grace of God. And in chapter 5, Paul switches gears a little bit, as we'll see in a few minutes, and he talks about the contrast between law and grace in a more practical, everyday way with the Galatians. But let's start reading at chapter 4 and verse 25, and we'll read through chapter 5, verse 5. In verse 25, "For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." And we'll stop right there. In verse 25, Paul continues his illustration of that Old Testament example of Hagar. And he says that in verse 25, Hagar is Mount Sinai, and answereth to Jerusalem. Of course, Hagar here represents Mount Sinai, or the law, and answereth to, Paul is talking about corresponding to. That's what that phrase answereth to means. Hagar corresponds to the earthly Jerusalem. And the earthly Jerusalem represents the nation of Israel. It also represents Judaism and the law. And Paul says in verse 25 that they are in bondage with her children. Jerusalem is like a mother slave with slave children. And Paul right here is condemning the legalists. He is condemning the Judaizers. And the legalists, of course, and the Judaizers would want to substitute law for grace. That's their goal. And that was what they were trying to accomplish in the Galatian churches. And Paul was telling the Galatian Christians here that you must adhere to the grace of God, not revert back to the Old Testament law. And in verse 26, he mentions Jerusalem. The Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, the Jerusalem which is above is talking about the heavenly Jerusalem. And that's also mentioned in another portion in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. And keep your place here and turn to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. And we'll read about that heavenly Jerusalem. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 22. Hebrews 12, 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Well, here in this passage in Hebrews 12, we see the picture here of the heavenly Jerusalem. And if you notice the phrases and the words that are mentioned to describe this heavenly Jerusalem, there are angels, innumerable company of angels, or myriads of angels. We see the church of the firstborn. We see the spirits of just men. We see Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And this is a Jerusalem, this is the Jerusalem of grace. This is the Jerusalem of the Messiah, the Jerusalem of the atoning sacrifice of our Savior. And if we go back to Galatians 4, we see that in contrast to verse 25, Paul is describing something totally and completely different from the earthly Jerusalem, which is bondage and the law. And he mentions in verse 26 that the Jerusalem which is above is free. That is, it's independent of the Mosaic law. And the heavenly Jerusalem is the mother of free children. And you and I and the Galatian Christians are the free children. And we are not under the law, the bondage of the law, the curse of the law anymore. We're under the grace of God. And that was the point that Paul was trying to get across to the Galatian Christians. And he says in verse 27, for it is written, and this is a quote from Isaiah 54, verse 1 in the Septuagint. Paul quotes the Septuagint here, Isaiah 54:1. He says, "Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, and break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband." And Paul here, in verse 27, does apply to Sarah, who was barren at one time. She could have no children. And, of course, Sarah, as we know, she was part of the heavenly Jerusalem. She was independent of the Mosaic law. She was part of the grace of God. And it says, "For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband." You know, Abraham's spiritual descendants were more numerous than his natural descendants. Now, what we mean by that is the fact that the natural descendants of Abraham was the nation of Israel. The spiritual descendants of Abraham are believers in Jesus Christ, like the Galatian Christians, like us. And Paul says in verse 27 that we should rejoice because of that. And the grace of God gives people something to rejoice about, does it not? And, you know, I mentioned the last time an illustration of of the Galatians being reverting back to the Old Testament law is for us to revert back to that old life we had before Christ. And mention that who wants to go back to that life? And think about the point that Paul is making to the Galatians, to the Galatian Christians. Who wants to go back to the Old Testament law? You know, that's the question that Paul is trying to get across to the believers there in Galatia. And he says further in verse 28, he says, Now we, brethren, that is the believers in Christ in Galatia, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. You know, Isaac was the child of promise. He was the child that God promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have. And the Galatians were like Isaac. They were born according to promise. They were not like Ishmael. Ishmael was born of the flesh, as you recall. And we see in verse 29, Paul expands that thought a little bit in verse 29. He says, But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. The one who was born after the flesh, of course, was Ishmael. The one that was born after the Spirit was Isaac. And we see that Ishmael persecuted Isaac. If you go back to Genesis, you'll read the account that Ishmael mocked Isaac in that account. And that word persecuted here means to drive away, to harass, or to molest. And so Ishmael persecuted Isaac. And we understand, and the Galatian Christians understood, that from Isaac came the nation of Israel. From Ishmael came what we call now today as the Arab nations, as you recall. And in Genesis, if you go back and read that account in Genesis, you'll find out that Ishmael and Isaac never got along. And they were always at odds with each other. And things haven't changed much, have they? We see the nation of Israel are surrounded by the Arab nations, who are their sworn enemies. And every nation, every government represented in the Arab countries to a country wants to destroy the nation of Israel. They would love to do that. And that goes all the way back, this enmity, this hatred that the Arabs have for the Israelis, you can trace it all the way back to the book of Genesis. Things haven't changed. And we know that the nation of Israel will be preserved from destruction from their enemies because God has a plan for Israel in the future. And he will not permit the nation of Israel to be destroyed. And if you study Bible prophecy, you understand that. But in verse 29, Paul is saying that that the legalists were persecuting Paul. And you recall the Judaizers were criticizing Paul. They called into question his apostolic authority. They said that Paul was not telling the truth to the Galatian Christians. We went over that. And as a matter of fact, the Judaizers, they would persecute anyone that would not forsake the grace of God and go back under the law. You know, if you weren't towing their line, if you weren't believing what they said, you were going to be persecuted. You were going to be heavily criticized. And that's what happened to the Apostle Paul in relation to the Judaizers. And I think that we can draw some conclusions from verse 29. And one of them is that the people of the flesh despise people of the Spirit. Have you ever noticed the hostility of those that are working for their salvation have toward those people that are saved by grace? Have you ever noticed that? If you talk to these people, you must accept Jesus as your Savior. You can't work for your salvation. God will not accept that. You know, at that point, moment in time, they'll start to justify themselves and say, well, you know, I'm just as good as Earl White down here. Or I'm just as good as so-and-so. And they'll try to justify themselves and use their works as a way of being accepted to God, by God. And, of course, we understand that that can never happen. And so we see that the Judaizers were using works, the salvation by works, to influence the believers in Galatia. That you've got to go back under the Old Testament law in order to be saved. And Paul is saying here in verse 29 that he was using that contrast between Isaac and Ishmael being under grace and being under law, you see, in verse 29. And he says finally in verse 30, Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. You recall that in the book of Genesis, the Lord directed Abraham to send Ishmael and Hagar away. And, of course, they went out into the desert. And God, of course, took care of Hagar and Ishmael while they were in the desert. And, you know, I was thinking about this. Suppose, for instance, I'm speculating here a little bit. Suppose, for instance, that Ishmael, who was a man of the flesh, suppose he had not turned his back on God. Suppose he had not rejected the Lord God. Suppose Ishmael taught his sons and his daughters about being obedient to God. And their descendants taught their descendants about being obedient to God. And so on down through the ages. Do you think we'd have the problems with the Arabs and the Israelis we would have today? I don't think so. But it never happened that way, did it? Ishmael was a man of the flesh. He was born after the flesh. And you recall that Hagar, in the book of Genesis, that Hagar was given by Sarah to Abraham to have a child. And, of course, this child was Ishmael. And you recall that Abraham pleaded with God in the book of Genesis. He said, Lord, let Ishmael live before thee. And, of course, God could not permit that. He just couldn't permit that. And in verse 30, we see here that the son of the slave woman, that is, Ishmael, who was the son of Hagar, the slave woman, could never share in the inheritance of the son of the free woman, in verse 30. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. And Paul is trying to tell the Galatians that law and grace are incompatible with one another. Just as Ishmael couldn't live with or exist with Isaac, neither can the law exist with grace. Do you see that? See that comparison there? And we understand that there are people, or the Judaizers were telling the Galatians that, yeah, you can have law and grace. You can have both and. You can have both the law and the grace. And, of course, it's not a both and situation. It's an either or situation. You have to choose either law or grace. You can't have both. You can't live under both. And brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're living under the grace of God, who and what believer in their right mind would want to leave the grace of God and revert back to the Old Testament law? God forbid. It's like we're living our life under the grace of God in obedience to Christ, and we want to go back to that time before we knew the Lord. God forbid there too also. I'm sure you don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Sadly, though, the Galatian Christians were being convinced by these Judaizers that they must revert back to the Old Testament law. And Paul, in verse 31, in the last verse in this chapter, he says, "So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." God says his children are the children of promise, saved by grace. We can't both be the children of the slave woman and of the free woman. We can't be under law and under grace at the same time. We have to be either under law or under grace. And Paul was trying, he was trying so hard, so desperately, to convince the Galatian Christians that they shouldn't go back under the Old Testament law. That they were free because of that. And we'll see that in chapter 5, verse 1. They are free and they have liberty in Jesus Christ. Christ had broken the bondage of the law to the Galatian Christians. And in chapter 5, verse 1, Paul ends this passage. In chapter 5, verse 1, by saying, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Paul says, stand fast, that is, do not bow your neck to the yoke of slavery again. And stand fast in the liberty, and of course the liberty is the freedom which belongs to the children of the free woman, as represented by Sarah. And he says in verse 1 that Christ hath made us free. Christ hath made us free. Our Savior has liberated us from the bondage of the law. And, you know, as I mentioned before, I've mentioned this several times, There are people out there who are literally working themselves to death to be accepted by God. How sad it is. And all they have to do is admit to God that they're a sinner, believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're saved. They're free from the bondage of keeping works in order to be accepted by God. And Paul says in verse 1 here, be not entangled, that is, don't be held ensnared again with the yoke of bondage. You know, a yoke, if you've seen pictures, I've never seen this in person, but I've seen pictures of in a field being plowed. You know, back in the ancient days of the Old New Testament, you had a couple of oxen, and they were yoked together with this piece of wood, heavy wood, that was put over their necks. And, of course, the farmer would stand behind the plow and, you know, try to get the oxen to plow, to move, to plow the ground. And without that yoke, probably one ox would stay there and the other one would move on, and maybe one would veer off to the left and one would veer off to the right, and you'd have a big mess on your hands. So they put a yoke on these oxen or the cattle or whatever animal they were using. And they this yoke put these animals together side by side, and they worked together to plow the field. Well, in this particular case, Paul is referring to that yoke of bondage. Is don't put that yoke of slavery back on you after you have been freed from it. The Galatian Christians couldn't, their understanding was that even though they've been saved, even though they placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, that many of them started to believe that they could go back and put themselves back under or revert back to the Old Testament law. Paul calls that a yoke of bondage, a yoke of slavery. And he was telling the Galatian Christians that you can't go back to the Old Testament law. You should not, should never put yourself back in under a yoke of bondage or a yoke of slavery. We're free in Christ, you see. Christ has broken the curse of the law that was that the Galatian Christians had previously held to. And now they were free by the grace of God. And in verse 2, as I said, verse 2, Paul switches gears a little bit in verse 2, and he starts to talk about the difference between law and grace, and he says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. The Judaizers were telling the Galatian Christians that, they were telling the Galatian men that you must keep the Old Testament regulation of males being circumcised. And if the Galatians were circumcised as part of being saved, then they are obligated to keep the whole law because circumcision was a pledge to live by the law, you see. And Paul here in verse 2 is saying that if you do that, if you revert back to that Old Testament regulation of circumcision, then Christ will profit you nothing. Christ will profit you nothing. Christ will be of no value at all to you. And you see that grace and law can't be combined. Grace and law cannot be compromised. They are mutually exclusive of one another. And Paul was trying to get this point across so clearly and so desperately to the Galatian Christians here. Because many of them had turned their back, and that's the only way you could describe it, they had turned their back on the grace of God and were going back to the Old Testament law. God forbid. God forbid. And that is not the gospel that Paul preached, as we saw in chapters 1 and 2. That when Paul preached the gospel, he preached the pure grace of God. It's faith in Christ alone, by the grace of God alone. And that was all. That was it. That was the gospel. It's simple. It's clear. The message of the gospel is very simple and it's very clear. And the Galatians, the Judaizers were confusing these dear Christians to the point where they were confused, they were perplexed, they were puzzled. And they were coming under the influence of these Judaizers. And Paul says in verse 3, he says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. And Paul is being emphatic here. He says, for I testify again. And he's saying that if you're circumcised, you're a debtor to the whole law. A debtor is a person who assumes an obligation. That is a debtor. if the Galatians accept circumcision as part of their salvation, then you have taken the liberty and grace we have in Christ, and you've gone back to the slavery of legalism, you see. And the Galatian Christians were making a bad choice here. They were making a choice based on the influence of the Judaizers, and which were telling them the rules and regulations of the Old Testament still apply to their lives as believers in Christ. And Paul is saying, no, they don't. You've been freed from that, you see. And he says, Paul says in verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. You know, the Galatians' relationship with the Lord, their relationship the Lord had suffered to the point it was null and void. If they were going back, if Paul is saying, if you're going to leave Christ and the grace of God and put yourself back under the Old Testament law, your relationship with Jesus Christ is almost over. I mean, you know? You see, if you go back under the Old Testament law, you're no longer obeying Christ. You're obeying the Old Testament law. Jesus Christ is secondary, or third, or fourth, or fifth. What is most important now is obeying the Old Testament law. And, you know, if our relationship with Christ, if the Galatians' relationship with Christ suffers, then they have no spiritual blessing. And they are fallen from grace. Now, that phrase, fallen from grace, needs some explanation. I can tell you what Paul is not talking about here. He is not talking about losing our salvation. Okay? He is not talking about we fall from grace and we lose our salvation. Paul here is contrasting law and grace. He is not talking about losing your salvation. That's the context of verse 4. And the Galatians were reverting back to the Old Testament. The legalists taught them that keeping the law was just as important as Jesus Christ, trusting Christ as your Savior. And Paul is saying, you have fallen from grace back to the law, you see. They haven't lost their salvation. They've fallen from grace back to the Old Testament law. In other words, the grace of God is no longer effective in your life. It's what Paul is telling the Galatians. You have fallen from grace. You reverted back to the Old Testament law. And finally, in verse 5, he says, for we, that is Paul, the Galatians, and us, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We, there are all true born-again believers, through the Spirit, not through the flesh, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That's interesting, a word, that word wait. It means to receive away from out of. I know that doesn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense to me. If you're a Greek scholar here, it's called a compound verb, and it has the words are kind of connected together in a way you don't understand it. From away, wait means receive away from out of. It's used 8 times in the New Testament, and it always means waiting for the return of the Lord. It always means in those 8 times it's used in the New Testament, it means waiting for the return of Christ. It's waiting for something that's going to happen in the future. And Paul is saying here that as believers, as Paul and the Galatians and us, we're waiting for the hope of righteousness. You know, we are declared righteous by God. All of us understand that intellectually in our minds. We might not completely 100% grasp that truth about being righteous before God, but we understand that's taught in the New Testament, and we accept that. We believe it. But Paul here is saying that when we get to heaven, all of us we have more clear understanding of what righteousness means and what righteousness is. We'll be experiencing that righteousness by faith, you see. We won't just have an intellectual understanding of it in this life. We'll see it, we'll understand it, and it'll be clear to us in the future when we're in heaven with the Lord. And brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm glad. I'm waiting for that day to come. I don't know about you. And Paul here, I think Paul is trying to give the Galatians some encouragement in verse 5 by saying that we through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, We're waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith. And we all have faith that the Lord is coming again someday. And that word faith here is a sure expectation of the coming of Jesus Christ. And then we'll understand what being righteous with God is all about. We won't have just an intellectual understanding. It'll be so clear, and we'll see it 100% with our own eyes, what being righteous with Christ is all about. We won't have the world to deal with anymore. We won't have Satan to attack us anymore, and we won't have the sin nature that gives us the desire to sin. We won't have that anymore. That'll be all done away with. And that is the end of the passage here, and next time we'll pick it up in verse 6 and go through the rest of chapter 5. And I believe Gene has some prayer requests.